is Katie Hunter from MMA UK. I'm here with Dominic Gibbs. Dominic is the CEO of Cage Steel. I just went to a fantastic event of theirs, Cage Steel 23, that was at the Fly DSA Arena. So we're going to talk about that. But first of all, what a beautiful backdrop for our interview. Where are you?
So I'm in my club in Doncaster. It's an old converted church. It's now a kind of pub, bar, events venue. We do kind of weddings in here and things. So nice,
so you're
nice.
A bit of an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I've got a few things going on, but yeah, you know.
Well, talk to us about Cage Steel. How did you get into this side of things?
Okay, so back in 2006, me and Danny Mitchell, we started a gym together. It was very, very new MMA in the UK at that point. I wanted to kind of promote, well, I think we both did, and someone kind of beat us to it. They started promoting it at the Dome. So Danny fought on the show and I cornered Danny and I got involved with the guys that were kind of doing it, helping running and things like that. And unbeknown to me, I was learning it for the future. So a lot of years later, I had a corporate job at the time. I was operations manager at Doncaster Council. So me and Danny kind of split the gym up and kind of lost our way a little, not lost our way, but lost like being in touch together. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of years later, my corporate job, I packed in, I took redundancy and I just wanted to work for myself, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I kind of left not knowing what I wanted to do. I had a really good job, but I just took a gamble.
That's very brave.
Or mad. So I fell into facilities management. I had a decent company. I was doing quite well. And then I met back up with Danny. We kind of tracked it back and we believe it was the royal wedding, William and Kate.
Wow.
Danny was running a Cage Steel gym at the time. And he put on a day rather than watching the royal wedding for people that didn't want to watch it. So I was one of those. I went down. We smashed each other in the face instead of watching royal wedding. And Cage Steel had a massive like sale. They were selling like boxing gloves for 10 quid and everyone just going crazy. But I loved the brand. I loved Cage Steel. I'd come across it when Danny fought. I bought a Cage Steel hoodie. In those days, it was down the sleeve. It said, live hard, die fighting. You know, it was that kind of thing back then. But eventually, you know, I became a director within Cage Steel Clothing. But the guy that owned it kind of fell out of love with MMA and he kind of didn't want to do anything. And I had to watch the brand die for 3 years. And it kind of hurt, but I knew there was like a bigger goal. So two years ago, I bought Cage Steel, the company. And I changed the name because we started out as CSFC, so it was Cage Steel Fighting Championship 1. And then the second show, Cage Steel didn't want to do it because he fell out of love, so we called it Combat Sport Fighting Championship. And then obviously right. I bought Cage Steel, changed it back to Cage Steel Fighting Championship, and then realized that actually Cage Steel, you know, being worn by people like Bisping and Misha Tate and, you know, numerous, like everyone across the UK, all the big people have all wore Cage Steel. Everyone knows about it. So that was the bigger brand. So we kind of did a complete rebrand and called the whole thing Cage Steel.
Wow. So the one that I went to in July was obviously Cage Steel 23. So yeah. When did you get involved in the actual shows and how amazing it is for you to see how far it's grown? Because I believe you sold, obviously it's in that huge arena, you had two cards on that day, the amateur card that started at 1 o'clock and the professional card that started at 6 o'clock, and they were two full cards. And I believe you sold like close to 4,000 tickets.
Yeah, across the two like events, yeah. Yeah,
that's
so
incredible.
I know. So December 2011 was when it all started. That was our first show. That was kind of like me and Danny just putting it on. Since then, Danny's kind of got, I mean, Danny's gym now, AVT, is so busy. So Danny's now just like the matchmaker for me. And like everything's grown massively, you know. I started out and like I was doing all the social media. I was doing everything within it. And then I kind of got where I employed a social media company. And then it got bigger than that, where I employed my own team. You know, I have such an amazing team around me that...
How big is the team now?
So you're looking at about 7 full-time employees, and then obviously we bring people in on kind of a subcontract basis. So, yeah.
Wow. So what do the 7 full-time people do?
So there's marketing guys, there's people that do the like social media content, we have a full-time graphic designer. That is a crazy job, you know. The fighter pullouts, she's literally like cutting fighters out each and every day. Like I'm sure she hates it when we say so and so's out.
Yeah. But,
like for me, I've got used to that side of the job when it was first, you know, we're first promoting. I used to go crazy, like so and so's I got mad, and now I'm like, oh, okay, that's just part of the job. That's everyone has a job that they have bad parts of their job. I'm kind of blessed because I do something that I love every day, so it doesn't feel like work. And I do work long hours, but it doesn't. Like I said, I made my hobby my job, so I never work again.
Well, in July we had like close to 40 fights on that card. I worked with Brad Pickett on Rise of Champions. I think the most fights we've ever tried to put on in a night is close to 20. Tell me how you did deal with the pullouts and stuff. That, I mean, they always come on fight week. You get the, you know, the people at the beginning of the week, but even people post weigh-in. I interviewed a few fighters who had a change of opponent like 24 hours prior to their fight. So how do you deal with that stress?
Well, obviously there's two sides of it. So there's obviously the dealing with the fight side of it, which I have to say I have an amazing matchmaker. Danny Mitchell, you know, I don't want to say too much because people might try to like jump on the bandwagon with me, but he's the best matchmaker that I can think of.
He also fought on the card as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he's crazy. And commentated.
And cornered.
Commentated. So he's great at that side of it, of finding replacements. And he's always got kind of, between us, we discuss things and there's always plan A and B. So if someone pulls out, there's kind of an emergency button to press to go somewhere else. But then there's kind of the promotion side of it. So all my team, you know, dealing with the the like advertising of it. So the worst one I can ever think of was, the team was sat down. We were literally finalizing program. So the program was going to print. We were sat there, and as the graphic designer was pressing go to the printer, we got a phone call, and our main event had broke his nose. Oh, and no. It was out. And it was like, stop, don't press go. What do we do now? You know, we've got to find a replacement. What do we do with the program? How do we pull this apart? What do we do? It was a crazy few hours. And, you know, credit to my team, no one, like, looked at the clock. Everyone just worked until stupid times, you know, stupid hours in the morning just to get it done and get it like covered, and we kind of covered it, you know. People didn't really notice that we'd actually removed the other guy from the main event, kept one in and just worked around it. So it is just a matter of being resourceful.
And you managed to get a replacement fighter, did you?
Yeah, Danny did, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So how far in advance do you have to start putting a card like that together? And how far in advance do you have to think of booking a venue when you're talking that size? And
so Sheffield Arena,
so many different things that go into it.
Yeah, so we already have contacts with the Dome. So we'll be doing the Dome on the 30th of November. There's one in March. And we're already talking to the arena now, I believe. We've got a date, so I believe the 4th of July will be the next cage deal at Sheffield Arena. So you're looking kind of, the events industry is really weird. You watch your life go past so fast because you're already talking 2020, you know, and we're already looking ahead to that card. So you're kind of like snooker players, you know, you're 3 or 4 shots ahead and you're already thinking, well, this is my champion. What if this guy wins? And then what if he wins? And then what? And you're kind of playing that game of what ifs already. So, yeah.
So how long do you give yourself after an event to recover from that one before you get fully stuck into the next one?
About 2 hours. It is mad, you know, you kind of think, oh, that's it, but that isn't it. Once we finish an event, we kind of have the Sunday to kind of get things together, but then the Monday morning is full bore. It's stripping out everything that's on our social media, on our websites, on every bit of communication that we've got that's got the old dates on, you know, the yes. last show. All that's got to be stripped out. Then the new dates have got to be done, the new themes, the whole, like, looking at the next event from that second, you know. And we already had kind of 9 fights on the kind of card, if you like, finishing that event, because you have natural like matchups anyway. So for instance,
yeah.
on that night there was John Barnes Jr. versus Scott Harper. Now, Scott Harper's retired more times but keeps coming back. An amazing fight, absolutely incredible. Everyone loved it. I got in the cage to award the belt. I said, Scott Harper, that ain't it, is it? Because he'd lost on points. So that can't be it, can it? He said, no, get me in back. So I went to John Barnes and I'm like, listen, he wants you back. Are we having a rematch? We're doing this again. And he's like, yeah. And we've got to confirm that yet. But they're kind of like, they're on the card. You know? so you're
that one was literally made in the cage on the night.
To be fair, you're kind of watching fights and you're already matching. You're already thinking, if this goes this way, I'm going to look to him to go with someone else, you know. So you kind of brain never stops about who's fighting who.
Well, let's talk about some other fights on the card, because there were some amazing fights that night. And I'd love to give a few of them a shout out. But Mohamed Mokaev... the sky's the limit for that guy, isn't it? It's his birthday today, so I wanted to say happy birthday to him. But only 19 today, he's yeah. just changing the game.
Yeah, yeah. Happy birthday, Mohamed. It is a real raw talent, you know. He's gone on and done the IMAF stuff, and he showed on the day. I mean, the guy that fought him, Miles Richards, pushed him to 3 rounds, really, which not yeah. a lot of people do. So,
no.
You know, the lad's got, he's got everything that he needs. He's got marketability. You know, he wears the obviously wig and comes out and he can do the interview stuff. He's very personable. Yeah. So he's got everything that he needs, because this game isn't just about fighting. This game is about selling yourself, basically.
Yeah.
And those people that sell themselves get paid more. And those people that don't think that's the case, then just look at Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor sold it. So, you know, Conor McGregor was fighting and getting paid millions, and his opponent was getting 48,000. If you want to get paid millions, you need to sell yourself. Yeah. So Mohamed Mokaev has got everything that he needs. He, I'm sure he'll be a future star.
16-0, and you know, does it feel good to have someone of that amateur quality on the card?
Yeah, that's right. Like you say there, he's an amateur, and he I think he's staying amateur for another year. The guy's got like 89,000 followers on Instagram or something like that. This kid is already famous. So he's the sky is the limit, as you say. But it's good for us, you know, to have those kind of people. It's credibility for the show.
Future star for sure. Yeah. And then we had Jamie Fulden on there making his pro debut. He'd obviously gone viral at one of your previous events with that insane karate style that he's got. And he got the submission victory. So it was good to see him start off his pro debut in such fashion.
Yeah, that lad is another like future star. And I can tell you something, right? I've sparred with Jamie, and he's very, very difficult in stand-up. And he's ruthless on the ground. Like, you know, you don't know what to do with him. That's the thing. When his kicking style is ridiculous. Like you say, he went viral. You know, he's been on like Joe Rogan's show. And he's just like insane the amount of views. We're talking multiple millions of views. So, yeah.
Insane. Well. And when you're that good on the ground as well, you don't have to worry about you're kicking
exactly.
and getting taken down, do you? So
exactly, that's
very well-rounded already.
That's the thing. There's a lot of fighters that are good stand up and good kicking, and it neutralizes their kicking because they fight an opponent who's a black belt jiu-jitsu, so they won't dare kick in case they're taken down.
Yeah.
Jamie does not care because he is great on the ground. You know, he trains at Doncaster Martial Arts Centre, and the guys there they're incredible at jits. Just different class. So and everyone goes there, you know, Scott Askham and Dia Kesey, these guys at UFC start. Danny Mitchell's been there. It's mad. The talent that's on those mats is ridiculous.
And he was going straight off to his stag do after Cage Steel. So I hope that he had an amazing time there. And he was also getting married just a couple of weeks after the show, I think. So
yeah,
I think it'll probably didn't take any damage to the face.
Well, that's the thing. I think that's why he wanted to get to the ground. I think his wife had threatened him. I think he was more scared of her than his opponent.
Well, props to her for letting him do it and taking that risk on the wedding photo. She must.
Yeah, good luck with your wedding, Jamie.
And then there were loads of KOs on the card, but for me, the KO of the night was Shaab Yussuf in the co-main event. That was violent. What did you make of it?
Listen, I saw the Italian lad's lip after, and I'm not kidding. You see split lips. This thing was like...
It was like split. A Robbie Lawler one, wasn't it?
Yeah, 6 stitches in that. So, had a nice time in a UK Sheffield Hallamshire hospital to have 6 stitches put in before he flew home. So, yeah.
But it was... Yussuf made it look like it was light work, but the guy was actually very good. He's got he's fought some decent people. He's got a good record. Just
great match. And on paper, you look at that and that's a top match. But like you say, he made light work of it. He really put the pressure on. Like you said, violently. So yeah.
Yeah. And then we had a very technical main event between John Maguire and Sam Bolt. John is one of my coaches, so I'm obviously biased and I didn't agree with the decision. I thought that John had done enough, but it was a very, very technical matchup, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Being totally honest with you, I kind of watched the fight, but didn't really watch the fight. It was the last fight of the night. My brain was fried. We'd just done this amazing thing. And I sat on the steps where the fighters walk out. And, like, that was me realising my dream. You know, I wanted to do this thing as like, a dream of mine. And I sat there and kind of what I was looking at them, but I didn't really watch the fight. You know, I was just, like, I was in my own world as kind of trying to come to terms with realizing my dream, you know, and it was kind of weird. So I hadn't had time to even sit down and watch the fight back. I just remember it being a technical war, which I kind of expected, to be fair, with the two of them there. Their jiu-jitsu's, you know, very impressive from both sides. So
yeah, it was. So you talked about it being a bit of a dream realised, and you certainly looked like you were loving it on the night, and no load of people were stopping you for photos. And what's your overall impression of it now? Now you've got a chance to kind of look back and reflect on it.
Well, they say your brain blanks out trauma. So like now, now it's just the good parts, you know. So they were obviously, you know, there were times on the night when it was very, very stressful. And if you've got a nervous disposition or a heart problem, don't do this stuff. This is going to kill you, okay? There were times on the night where I was like, oh, my word. But and I didn't kind of appreciate it at the time. You know, even sat there looking at it, I still didn't appreciate it. And it kind of took, I'd say, a good week or so to really actually come to terms with the fact that was what I thought was my dream. That's the problem. I don't know whether
it's... Are we now dreaming bigger?
Yeah, I don't know whether it's because you reach your dream, then you set another dream, that was my dream, but that's not my dream now. You know, my dreams now are far, far in advance of what we did. I think we did something amazing, but I know we can do better. I know the mistakes we made, and I know what we can do to make it better. So kind of me looking, I'm really like I critique my stuff. I'm not a critic because you keep yourself down by being like that, but I critique the stuff. So I analyze it and I think, this is where we didn't do well. This is where we did great. This is what we need to do better. So, you know, I'm already on to July the 4th, 2020. That's my next dream.
So you've got a couple of events coming up before then that are in the Dome. What are the dates for those ones?
So the 30th of November is the next show. And then we've got our March show, which we're just possibly changing a date on for the Dome. So we haven't got the firm date for that now. So, yeah, they've got other things and we've kind of worked with them on swapping it.
And if people want to get their fighters on the card, should they get in touch with you or Danny, or how should they do that?
Anyway, you know, if you want to fight on this show, then come through either the page, come through me, go to Danny. You know, we'll put your name down. But make it a credible source. You know, ideally, it's the coaches and the managers that are coming forward. We do get random stuff. We have had so many people message us that want to fight. And I can honestly tell you, of everybody that's ever messaged the page, no one has ever fought. No one.
Okay.
They come and they want to fight, and you make them a profile picture, and they put it on, tell all their mates they're fighting, and then they can't get a dog sitter. That's a true one. That is a true fact. That is an actual excuse that was used. So.
Oh my God. I've actually had, I obviously had a much more minor experience because Brad Pickett matches the Rock card himself. But I've had a few people that have either messaged the Rock page, which I reply to, or my contact details are on there as well. And the amount of people who've asked if we can get them a fight, they get a very good matchup offered to them. And then, I'm going to have to check with my coach, or I'm not sure. It's insane. If people ask for a fight, you actually, I find it quite baffling that they don't really want to fight.
Yeah, I mean, there are the two types. There are those that never intended to fight. They just want to tell their mates they're a fighter and they want to put their profile picture up there. And, you know, playing their own head, and they need to be honest with themselves. And then there's the ones that do want to fight. They just don't want to fight who you've put them against because they want to win, you know. And it's kind of like, you know, in the 2006, 2007 days, it was records are for DJs. You know, no one cared who anyone fought. And it just shows you that people are like trying to get to like the UFC, and that there are obviously, you know, other organizations now that are coming through, which is great. But people look at the UFC. The UFC don't just look at your record. They look at, if you've lost, they look at who you've lost to. Danny lost. He lost to Gunnar Nelson.
Yeah.
You know, these are the things. Fight the best guys, because that's how you learn, you know. Put it on the line. It's all good.
I think that's why I'm so pleased that the amateur scene is developing so much, because people seem to be a lot more willing to take risks on their amateur record, knowing, but then protect their record when they turn pro. So at least they're getting to test themselves against the best, and especially people like Mohammed going to IMAF and just saying, give me anyone in the world and let me see how I do against them.
Yeah, they've got to do that. You know, at the end of the day, once they turn pro, they cut that record free. They could go 0-10 and fought the best guys ever and learnt so much. Then they just cut that free and they're naught and naught.
Yeah.
So no one cares.
So any ideas of who's going to be the main event in November yet? Or is that a secret?
It's a secret for now. I'd love to tell you, Katie, but it's a secret for now. in the next few days, I think we'll be probably ready to make an announcement. It's only because the signatures aren't on the paper yet, so we can't, you know, I don't want to.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to finding out who that's going to be. Just handing over to you before we go, really. Any shout outs, anyone you'd like to thank for helping you put all this together and making it possible?
Yeah, there's obviously so many people to thank. I won't be able to sit here and thank them personally. It'd be like an Oscar speech. But obviously all my team, you know, the guy, everyone who fights, the coaches, the fighters, Everyone really, but there's one person that I really need to thank. I need to thank them personally. So it's my mum. My mum, you know, she gave me everything that I've got. She gave me the drive, the ambition, and I love her to bits for it. So, yeah.
That's really sweet. Well, thank you so much for talking to me. Thank you for inviting me to the event to cover it. I had an amazing time. They were just, for me, it was a little bit like being at a busier ACB event where there were just like, the production was excellent and it was just all about the fights. There were just fights one after the other. And I just really had a great time. I'd encourage anybody to go along and watch one of your events. You won't be disappointed. We saw MMA, K1, boxing, bare knuckle boxing, all on the same card. And actually, did your ticket qualify you for both tickets? If you wanted to go to both, it would be a long day, but it'd be full of a lot of entertaining fights.
It was a pound a fight.
Oh my God. If that's not worth it, I don't know what is.
Yeah, exactly.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time, Dom. Looking forward to the next event already.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you for your support. You know, it means a lot for the like kind of MMA media to get behind us and come to the events and do the work that you've done. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anytime. Thank you.
We'll see you soon. Okay, Katie. Thanks.
Take care. Try and remain stress-free.
Yeah, bye. Bye. Bye.